لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. الله يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, my dear Quran buddies? Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. I'm hoping and praying everyone is having a blessed day, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. On behalf of Nurul Quran Institute, I would like to welcome you all in this blessed session, in this blessed month of learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I'm hoping everybody's fasting today. We all started Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Different circumstances this Ramadan, but alhamdulillah, all is good. Obviously, we cannot go to mosque for Taraweeh. We could not. But I'm hoping that everybody made it a point that they did it at home. Make a jamaat of our women, if they are like 2-3 ladies. Inshallah, mother, daughter. I always do it with my daughter. So even if we are just 2 at home, and then it is a norm for we do together. So we can do that, and we can gain extra reward. And we have to be greedy in gaining rewards in this month. We have to strive hard, because every single deed is multiplied. So who knows how many hasanat we are going to end up gathering in this month. And it is a training session for us, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So it will keep us active. It will keep us striving to do more, to get more rewards, to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza more. We learned in yesterday's juz, subhanallah. So we have to strive to seek that, inshallah wa ta'ala. Right? So, alhamdulillah, it will be a different kind of feeling in learning our next juz today, since we are fasting, inshallah wa ta'ala. More spirituality, inshallah wa ta'ala. And I hope you're and more spiritual. We are more into learning. And if we can absorb more, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we can enjoy establishing our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, inshallah wa ta'ala. So what a beautiful feeling. Simply, it's the contentment of heart, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So does this contentment of heart is compelling you to be a permanent traveler on this journey? Yeah? First Torah, Quran, and then inshallah wa ta'ala, joining in-depth course of the tafsir later, inshallah wa ta'ala, after Ramadan. Yeah, just an incentive. Alhamdulillah. So we can be an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can be a person which is required from us. You know, we can carry on this legacy of being a Muslim, being a true Muslim. And we can be the best ambassadors of of Islam, inshallah wa ta'ala. So, you know, the learning is, knowledge is so very eminent and important. So if we learn properly, then we convey properly, obviously. But we have knowledge is not there. Making all the commandments part of our life, implement on ourselves, so much so that it becomes our habit. We start thinking, of course, gradually we keep on implementing things in our personality, on ourselves, in our lives. So much so that we feel like that, okay, we were born with these qualities, inshallah wa ta'ala. And it will come, the day will come. If you start taking one thing at a time, all the character building tips and hints we are learning, inshallah wa ta'ala, all the lessons we are taking, if one by one you start implementing in your life, inshallah wa ta'ala, one day you will see, oh, maybe you won't even realize it, that it will be such a norm for you all, inshallah, for us all. I'm included, inshallah wa ta'ala. I'm first to, inshallah wa ta'ala, do that. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will try and strive to be the best slaves, the most obedient slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prayer and His rahmah, His mercy, inshallah wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, we completed juz 4th and now today we will continue with juz 5th, continue with Surah An-Nisa, the most awaited surah, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many, you know, blessings with that. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a woman, you know, a status symbol in our society. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us from all the abuse which was going on before Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was declared Prophet. So alhamdulillah, we are so blessed. Alhamdulillah. When we started the juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to spend. Spend from what? From our most prized possessions. Subhanallah. Okay, Sister Zainab, I will answer you later, inshallah wa ta'ala. So, we have to make intention. We have to make goal out for ourselves that we have to spend whatever we have. We just maybe make it so precious for us. And maybe it could be our skills. It could be our time. It could be our health. It could be time and energy, money, anything. Anything we love the most, that we have to make sure that we sacrifice receiving righteous deeds, closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only when we sacrifice. Because with sacrifice comes the contentment of heart too, that you have done something in your life. And then we learn that halal and haram, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to do that. We do not have the right to do halal and haram. And we cannot do whatever and we desire. Then we learn that we have to hold on Quran and Sunnah tightly. Rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that when we follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will follow the Sunnah precisely. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left a complete legacy, complete deen for us. So we don't have any desire, we should not have any desire to add or subtract anything or add any innovations into it. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will follow precisely as it was given. Then we were encouraged and told to stick together, not to follow into different sects, just a Muslim under one umbrella of Islam. There should be no Sunni, no Wahhabi, no Hanfi, no Shafi. It should be one Muslim. That's the name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, right? So we have to follow that name and we will not deviate from this, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we will not give ourselves any other name other than being a Muslim, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we also learned that time of death is pre-written for us. We do not know what the next second brings for us. We have seen so many examples of people praying and they go in sujood and they die there. Subhanallah, that was their time there. They did not know when they started their salah. They did not know that they will complete it. So we have to start preparing for that time. Because our day of judgment will start when our eyes close. The moment we are 6 feet under, that is our time. And we do not want the regret of that time. We want to prepare ourselves. You know, a wise person is who? who prepare. You know, like here where we live, it's like a lot of hurricanes and tornadoes come, and they just tell you the whole list to prepare yourself before that season hits. And people are crazy. You know, the moment any hurricane hit, people are gathering water, batteries, food, this. And I keep on thinking every time that are we preparing the same way for that catastrophe, which has to happen? And that will happen when our eyes closed. So this is a very, very important thing for us to think throughout the journey. And every single moment we live, we have to think about that. When we talk, am I being polite? Am I talking the way my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me to talk? Am I using the right words? When we're dealing with our family, with husband, with children, with relatives, with friends, with neighbors, am I dealing the right way? You know, like constant fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constant love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just be the best slave. So we are watchful for every single second of our lives. So, time of death is written. Every single person has to face death. We have to prepare for that. So then there were the virtues of last ayahs of Surah Ali Imran. So we have to make ourselves the goal to memorize them, inshallah wa ta'ala, last 10 ayahs. And we learned the virtues of those two. And then, alhamdulillah, we started Surah An-Nisa. We were alhamdulillah, given the tips and how to be, you know, a best, inshallah wa ta'ala, a wife, a mother, a daughter, and alhamdulillah. And of course, Islam teaches us to be, to distribute wealth. That again, it was coming taqwa. And it was mentioned taqwa, and we have to be just in our dealings and stuff. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will continue with the surah, and we will learn more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments in regards to that. But meanwhile, yes, inheritance laws were also mentioned. And do you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of every single aspect of our lives? So by listing all these laws and commandments, just think that is it just the book of barakah? We can just recite Arabic without learning the meanings of it and just say, oh, it is a barakah. Or when a girl is getting married, just put Quran on her head and just say, oh, she'll have a blissful life full of barakah. So these things are telling us the creator of this world, when he created this world, he gave us laws, right? Every country has a law. Every country has rules and regulations. And we have to follow. Otherwise, we will be held, you know, like a contentment of it. So, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will keep on thinking. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll make our intention to learn our book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail in future. And just for the, you know, like, so we can be the best slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Now we will go to Atlanta, Georgia, where Sister Faiza will start with Juz 5th in Journey Through Quran. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, all the gems we will inshallah wa ta'ala learn, and we will write our action points while going through this journey. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asim jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We're blessed to be here again another day, already on Juz 5th. This is special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have a first day of Ramadan too. In different parts of the world, they may be starting Ramadan tonight, but here in US, we already started. Today is the first of fast. And today, inshallah, you will find that when you learn Quran in the state of fasting, remember that what we learned in the opening Welcome Ramadan program, that once you are in a state of fasting, the way the Quran is absorbed is very, very different from the way that you might usually do it without the Ramadan, without the fasting. So inshallah, with that, let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time and keep shaitan away from us, keep us 100% focused. And if we do get distracted, remember to come back and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. You know why? Because Quran is an amazing book and shaitan dislike it so much, inshallah. Now, before we begin today's juz, I wanted to share something with you, which is in relation to Ramadan, and what are some of the things that we should be doing and keeping in mind. So some few tips about the month of Ramadan, how can you begin this month, because this is today the first day of the month. So make sure you do recite Quran every single day, even if it's little, do it anyway. And of course, feed the hungry, try to get some spend some money or cook some food and feed anybody. It doesn't have to be poor. It can be anybody. Give food to your neighbors. Let them know the month of Ramadan is here. And then give sadaqah. Try to give sadaqah every day, because you know what? You don't want to miss the reward on any single day. So give small amount. Give every day. And there are apps you can sign up. And they can automatically take out money from your account every single day. If it's not possible for you to go out somewhere, go online and give it there. And make sure you remember to cheer someone up every day. You know why? Because that's also a form of a sadaqah. So start your day, make an intention, call someone up. 30 days, 30 phone calls, or if phone calls are not possible, 30 messages you can give to your family members and cheer them up and say salam to them. Happy Ramadan to them, and give them some dua. Here, share a hadith. Don't just share a image filled with Ramadan Mubarak. Use this opportunity to share something good with them too. And sponsor an orphan. Today also we will learn about orphan, and yesterday's juz was also about the rights of an orphan we have. So this month of Ramadan is the best place. There are many sites, Islamic sites that actually do this. So you can sign up with them, at least sponsor one orphan. And also keep the best manners in place. You know why? Because you are fasting not just by the stomach, by the tongue and everything else too. So try to put a fake smile. If you don't feel like smiling, try to have at least fake smile. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you make it into real. And then try to pray salah on time. And search for Laylatul Qadr. Of course, Laylatul Qadr is going to come in the last 10 nights, right? But have intention today, right now, that, oh Allah, make it facilitate for me that I'm able to do that. Because just yesterday, a few hours before the month of Ramadan started, someone had died. I heard the news. And you know, when Sahaba used to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach the month of Ramadan, this was for real, because it is possible that you and I may not reach the Ramadan. Now we have sighted the moon and we are in the month of Ramadan. It is may not be possible that we live through the whole month of Ramadan. This is why I have intention now. So even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us away before reaching Laylatul Qadr, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward. Also, do zikr and azkar, daily azkar, many du'as, and today the ayah and the Quran will come also that will then tell us the importance of azkar. And of course, you can have the gift of something like water in the areas where there is no water. There are many ways that you can earn good deeds in the month of Ramadan. So just open up your heart, have intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible for you. Now, today's juz is juz 5, and the theme ayah for today is ayah number 45 of Surah An-Nisa. In that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wafa billahi waliya." Before we go and do the explanation of this ayah, but I want you to try to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. Because remember, we are learning the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah is according to the theme of this journey through Quran. So, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا. Highlight this part and write it down for you. Every time throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the life, think about this, inshallah. And the dua, the theme dua that goes with it, because now you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are my friend and you are my wali and you are enough for me. And that can only happen if you save ourselves with shirk, right? So Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Inshallah, the registered students will get this in their daily worksheet. And if you are filling out your worksheet on a daily basis, please type 1, because this will be a shahada witness for you on a day of judgment that you are doing more than what you're supposed to be doing. You know why? Because once you get finish this class, and if you don't connect yourself throughout the day with Quran, this is not doing justice to the month of Ramadan. Let's listen to the ayahs, first few ayahs of the Surah Nisa in Juz 5, Wal Muhsinat, and then we'll continue with the tafsir, inshallah.
وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَنْ تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْصِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما ومن لم يستطع منكم طولا أن ينكح المحصنات المؤمنات فمما ملكت أيمانكم من فتياتكم المؤمنات والله أعلم بإيمانكم بعضكم من بعض فانكحوهن بإذن أهلهن وآتوهن أجورهن بالمعروف محصنات غير مسافحات ولا متخذات أخدان فإذا أحصن فإن أتين بفاحشة فعليهن نصف ما على المحصنات من العذاب ذلك لمن خشي العنت منكم وأن تصبروا خير لكم والله غفور رحيم يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ويتوب عليكم والله عليم حكيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله. Today we're going to begin Juz 5, and in that, before I go into the Juz 5, if you summarize all of it, what we learned from the day 1 until now, in Juz 1 we learned why are we created, in Juz 2 we learned that we have given a job, a responsibility as a Ummat al-Wasat, and in Juz 3 we learned to develop a personality who can anger, who can control. Juz 3 and 4 both, we learn how to control anger and how to hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how not to be divided so we can do the job that we're given and no divisions. And of course we also learn about hikmah, because hikmah is something that is needed to do the job that we're given as Ummat al-Wasat. If you and I feel the responsibility to do that from this class, from this course, that means now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really helping you to come towards the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And of course, and how can we develop an ummah al-wasat and do the job? By doing amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, meaning enjoin good and forbid evil. And that is an obligation. It is not the choice. And you know how should you do that? You can only do that if you develop a soft, caring personality like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know why? Because in today's juz, we will learn something very special. How special it is, how important it is to follow the sunnah and follow the footsteps of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only then you and I can be the part of the society which the whole world looks up to. There was a time Muslims were in power and Muslims were ruling. You know why? Because they were living by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them izna. And in today's juz also we will learn that who can we marry. We already learned the list of the muharramat, right? You cannot marry those people. And today we're going to learn one more category of that list. And we'll get into that once we get into the ayah. And then in this today's juz, we will learn how to write and develop foreign policies and the policies to deal nationally and internationally level, how to maintain and develop a nation which rules. You know, this Surah An-Nisa, when it was revealing at the time, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina, and there was a time that they had to develop a new whole Muslim country, right? And when any Muslim country, if they follow that what Medina did, and then Islam will rise. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible. We learn the lesson as a whole Muslim ummah. Everybody gets to do that. That's when the change will come at large. And if you and I are not there to see the change, at least we should make dua and intention and do our part. And so we can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I only did what was possible for me, and this is where it starts. It all starts from your home. This is why we're going to learn how to develop a healthy society today, and many lessons will come, how to keep the marriages intact, and what to do when you find a problem. And what is the roles and responsibilities given to men and women? And they are very different. You cannot say that the man of the society and the women of the society can live the same life. You know why? Because that's where the problem occurs. Inshallah, we'll shed light on that. And also, we will learn that the trials and problems comes because of our own sins, our own mistakes. And then we say, why this is happening to us? When wrong leaders are appointed for us on top of our head, and then we say, why is that? We forget to look that it is a problem that we may have caused in ummah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put leaders which are doing injustice. And the very important rule we will learn today is that a country who can prosper does not have to do with the faith or iman. As long as there is no zulm, as long as the leaders of the ummah are not doing injustice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them, give them prosperity. Today we see in especially Muslim countries, the Muslim ummah are suffering. You know why? Because they are doing zulm. There is no justice system. When the justice system goes away from any leadership, downfall happens. And then we will learn some about the hypocrites that were there. And these ayahs will be in the context of the time. So do not generalize these ayahs, because that's where the problem begins. And we will learn also superstition and things like believing in superstitious stuff is allowed or not. And we will learn very important rule about how successful institutions should work, what steps should they follow. And of course, importance of salah, how important it is, can we miss salah, are we allowed to miss salah in any condition or not. And then we will, inshallah, move on to our today's lesson, which is ayah number 24 of Surah سورة النساء والمحصنات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ And also prohibit to you are all married women except those your right hand possesses. Notice here the word wow. Wow shows, it indicates that the list which we learn in ayah number 23, this is a continuation and this is the next category that you cannot move. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Please turn off the mic. Somebody has their mic unmute. Wal musinat. This is the next category that is not, you're not supposed to marry that. Who are they? And also prohibited to you are all married women. I want you to pay attention to this. What does it mean? When a woman is married and she is under her husband's care, she is actively currently married, it is haram to look at that woman, oh, I wish that she was available and I would have married her. You know, people have this thing, hidden desire in their hearts maybe, that you know what, when this woman, I wish she was available, I would marry her. It is haram to do that, because now a woman is supposed to stay in this marriage with 100% loyalty. Imagine if a person says, you know, you are married, but you know, I used to love you and I still have some love for you. Imagine you, what you're doing to this woman's heart, because women are emotional and of course they're going to feel something and they're going to say, you know what, yeah, and they're going to start feel bad about being married to this their present husband. So it is totally haram. Unfortunately, it's getting very common, and people in the social media and the TV and drama and serials and movies, they show and glamorize this stuff that a married woman goes to work and she has relationship. In the beginning, she's talking casually and he's talking casually to her, but eventually they get in love with each other and they hate their own spouses and they plan to get married and they both of them plan to divorce their spouses, so they themselves get married together. This is against Islam. It is haram to do that. When a woman is married, you're not supposed to look at her with an intention that you want to marry. Today, people don't even speak up. They find it so normalized because the brains are wired this way that it is okay. If you are unhappy in your present marriage, it's okay to look around. And that's where the problem begins. And this is one of the biggest problems we see, that marriages don't work out. And imagine if the marriages are not working out and if people are not happy within their own home, do you think that they can do the job of Ummat al-Wasan? Of course not. And this is one of the shaitan's tricks to break marriages apart. Shaitan gets very happy when he makes woman and husband think ill of each other. And this is, people don't realize it. This is why we learned earlier that controlling your anger is extremely important, especially in the relationship. When a husband and a wife are unhappy with each other and they don't control their anger, they look around and they find other people, and they, especially in social media, today people put up their pictures, a happy moment, and you see, and you come back, and you tell your husband, you know, they're going on a vacation. You don't even take me to any vacation. Look, they're sitting at this restaurant, and we don't even get to go out. Look, she's wearing such nice clothes. I am deprived of these clothes, and all these things built up over time. So we need to be very careful about that. As Islamic State, as a Muslim Ummah, we need to be really know what to look for and what not to do. This is a decree of Allah upon you, and lawful to you are all others beyond these, provided that you seek them in marriage with gift from your property, desiring chastity, not unlawful sexual intercourse. So, for whatever you enjoy of marriage from them, give them their due compensation as an obligation. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling men to treat women with justice. And there is no blame upon you for what you mutually agreed to beyond the obligation. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing and wise. And whoever among you cannot find the means to marry free believing women, then they may marry from those whom your right hand possesses of believing slave girls. And Allah is most knowing about your faith. What we learn here is that getting married is a solution to many fitna that we see. If a person is not able to marry, then at least he should marry at the time this was possible that they were slave girls. Today, we see people delay marriage for no good reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what? Today, there is so much enticement. There is so much glamour out there. You see women on the picture, magazine cover, billboards, TV screen, wearing almost next to nothing and beautifying themselves, and a man looks at those pictures and he gets enticed and excited, and if he's not able to get married, then they have this relationship. And that's where the society's downfall begins, because now, today especially, we see that this has been so normalized. Even a husband, boy and a girl, they find nothing wrong. Today our children come to us and they say, what's wrong with that? I can just have a relationship with him because I'm planning to marry him, or I am planning to marry her. So what if I have our time together and people sit together? And this is not allowed. The Islam only allows everything to have enjoyment with a legal way, and that is to do nikah first. Today, sometimes parents make it difficult for the kids. When a boy comes 18, 19, 20 years old, and they say, we want to get married, and they say, you know what, first you earn money, establish yourself, and then get married. Well, if the boy is not able to control himself, it's okay. You can let them get married and you can take care of them. Stop the fitna in the society. And Allah is most knowing about your faith. You believers are of one another. So marry them with the permission of their people and give them their due compensation. And when you marry, you must give the bridal gift. That is mahar, haq mahar. It is mandatory part. According to what is acceptable, the amount, the haq mahar amount, suppose we understand this ayah. Because sometimes people say, they ask so much money. Or sometimes the person say, I want to give only few $100 or maybe $1, $10. The amount of the haq mahar supposed to be according to the norm of a society, a normal way that it is basically good enough that he can afford, not too much, that he cannot afford, not too little, even though if he can afford more and he gives little. It is important that he gives it according to what is acceptable terms. They should be chaste. This is very important, right? They should be chaste. Neither of those who commit unlawful intercourse randomly, nor those who take secret lovers. Here we learn important thing. When choosing a spouse, choose a spouse based on religion. Their woman should be chaste, neither of those who commit unlawful intercourse. Today, we don't even mind having this relationship outside of marriage. In the name of fiancé, in the name of engagement, in the name of friendship, people say, I want to try it out. And they have the relationship before marriage, and they talk long hours on the phone. Do you think this is Islam? No, it is not Islam. Especially today, even parents justify, oh, it's okay. They're getting married in a couple of months or some 6 months or a year anyway, so it's okay for them to have fun together. They can go out and stuff. So what's the point of marrying afterwards then? Why don't you just let them marry? If you can do the engagement, might as well do the nikah. At least you're saving for a long time. It is very un-Islamic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should not have any relationship of boys and a girl which are not related in the form of nikah. Today, you see some people even move in together just because, oh, we are planning to get married 1 year from now. So we just want to start living together now. And I'm not talking about non-Muslims only. This illness is actually coming in the culture of Muslims' family. Especially some countries, they actually don't mind at all. And the richer family, the upper class families are, the more acceptable this thing is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in order to develop a society which is healthy, we need to avoid all these. And neither of those who commit unlawful intercourse randomly, nor those who take secret lovers. What does that mean? Sometimes people have this hidden relationship, even their parents don't know that. Well, today it has gone even one step further. People have relationship, it's not even secret, because today people don't mind having this relationship, because when something sin that becomes the norm of a society, then people don't even mind publicizing about that. They actually share a picture and they actually feel proud. Even today, mothers tell their kids, to girls, why don't you find a partner when you go to college or school? Because if you don't find it when you're in school or university, then it gets harder to find a spouse or partner to get married. Mothers encourage their kids, their daughters and sons, to find their life partner there when they're going to school. This is definitely against Islam. But once they are sheltered in marriage, what do we learn here? Yes, you should shelter and protect yourself, do the nikah, and then have all the fun that is halal. But once they are sheltered in marriage, if they should commit adultery, then for them is half the punishment of the free unmarried woman. When a couple is married, it is even bigger sin to commit adultery. This is what we learn here. This allowance is for him among you who fears affliction, meaning when some person is fearing that he is going to commit the sin, but to be patient is better for you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. What do we learn from this ayah? We learn here that today we really need to attach ourselves to Quran so we know what is right and what's wrong. The reason people don't find these things wrong, because they don't know the severity of it. Islam wants clean progeny. Islam wants lineage that is protected. And of course, nowadays, it's not even possible sometimes. There are a lot of cases out there in Muslim families when a boy and a girl are living together and the girl gets pregnant. And then they come to their parents, we want to get married. And then they do nikah in a hurry, and the baby born, whether or not the baby belongs to the same guy or not. But this is getting very common. Today, we really need to come back and realize, where are we heading? We are learning about oneness of Allah. We are learning about developing an ummah, that is Ummatul Wasat, and Muslim ummah is going through these problems. Do you think that Islam can really establish in these conditions? So we all have to start now, raising our generation with the understanding of Quran and letting them know and letting ourselves know what is the right way to live this life. This tells you that Islam is not just our rituals. Islam is not just about praying five times and fasting in the month of Ramadan. Islam is developing a society where everybody lives with a mindset that we are here for a bigger purpose. And that is the bottom line. Allah wants to make clear to you the lawful from the unlawful and guide you to the good practices of those before you and to accept your repentance. And Allah is knowing and wise. People, if they have made a mistake in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving. Allah wants to accept your repentance, but those who follow their passion want you to digress into a great deviation. And Allah wants to lighten for you your difficulties, and mankind was created weak. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how we created the humankind and how weak humankind is. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are for your own goodness. If you follow them, you are the one who's going to be protected. The society is going to be the one which is all safe and sound, and you will live peacefully. Imagine if a society already knows Surah An-Nisa, then the society would not suffer the way it is suffering. Marriages are breaking apart because of this extra relationship and people not minding about that. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuhal ladhina, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing directly to the believers, do not consume one another's wealth. One another's wealth unjustly, but only in lawful business by mutual consent, and do not kill yourself, to you ever merciful. Here we learn about doing business. When people do business, this is another solution to the society's problem. When people do business unjustly. People try to cheat another in business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching all those people who do business, how should you do business? Be very, very just and fair. Because when you do dealings unjustly, it comes back to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not even allowed. And you, when you make decisions in your business, it has to be according to mutual consent. Both parties have to agree. Today we see so many stories that business started with a partnership and they break up. Because you know why? The taqwa is not there. The information is not there. The iman is not there. And whoever does that, in aggression and injustice, then we will drive him into a fire. And that for Allah is always easy. What do we learn here? In order to prosper in personal life, daily life, community life, in international life, national life, and even in a government level, everyone have to be just and fair. When this justice and fairness is the norm of a society, those are the societies who prosper. Today we see some superpowers, super countries, they didn't got there just because out of the blue. They didn't make it to this far just because they were somebody. No. When people have just and fair attitude in their dealings, that's when the prosperity comes. So if you and I want to see prosperity in our life, be just and fair. You know why? Because once justice and fairness goes away, then it replaces by zulm. And when people do injustice, then the downfall comes. It can be downfall on a personal life, or a married life, or a family life, or a community life, or a national level, or international level. So what we learn here is that two things we need in our life to be prosper in this world, and that is fairness and justice. Ayah number 30, and whoever does that in aggression and injustice, then we will drive him into fire. What do we learn here? Downfall begins, and it ends up in a fire pit, which is the hellfire. And that for Allah is always easy. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no plans to send you in a hellfire. It is the action of the people that drives them to this hellfire. If you avoid the major sin, very important ayah number 31. In that ayah, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a solution here. And that is, if you avoid major sins, which you will entrance into paradise. We learn a very important rule here. And the rule is, there are major sins and minor sins. Now, there is no specific way that we can understand what are the major sins. According to Mufassirin, there are some say there are 70 major sins. Some say there are many major sins. There are anything that is major and that involves other people in it, it's considered major sin. That here I'm going to tell you few major sins. If we have any one of these major sins in our life, then we are not forgiven, because major sins are something that a person really truly have to repent, come back, do reform. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. That is, number one is shirk, meaning associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any kind of shirk, it could be small kind too. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any and all kinds of shirk. Number two is magic. Getting involved in any kind of black magic is a major sin. Number three is murder. Killing somebody. Today we see Muslims killing Muslims, not knowing why are they doing. Muslim countries are fighting Muslim countries. It's a major, major sin. And if people are committing this major sin, don't you think that the problems are going to come in their way? Don't you think that people will be going through the trials that way? Don't you think that the disgrace will come to them? And then the next major sin is interest. If economy is based on interest and people do not mind taking interest, it is a major, major sin. And then eating the property of orphans. How many people do you hear stories like that, that the orphans are being abused in the house of their own uncles? Father died when the orphans were young, and the uncle is taking care, maybe paternal or maternal or whoever it is. They eat up the property. They don't give the rights to the orphan. They take the inheritance of the orphans and eat it up and devour themselves. It is a super major sin. And then accusing pure chaste women of adultery. It comes under the category of major sin. Think of it. If any of this is available in us, then we're not forgiving. Let's come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think, and then we can repent from there and move from there, because this is something very seriously. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you take care of your major sins, and then as a human, I know you will be committing minor sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will remove your lesser sins and admit you at a noble entrance as long as you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minor sins are washed. This is why minor sins is washed away. And do not wish for that by which Allah has made some of you exceed others. For men is a share of what they have earned, and for women is a share of what they have earned. And ask Allah of His bounty. Indeed, Allah is ever all things knowing. What we learn here is that instead of being jealous of others, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you can give this to them, you can give me too. You know, Allah has abundance of everything. It is us, we think that, oh, if they got it, then that means I cannot. And shaitan puts this jealousy and enmity among our heart that they have it and I don't. Well, you know what? You know what? If Allah can give them their fazl, their bounty, Allah can give you too. All you have to do is just ask, right? If you ask and you shall receive. And sometimes people say, oh, they want something that they don't even deserve. Like, for example, if somebody worked really hard and they got into a higher position and they just get jealous, how come they got it? Well, how do you know that they didn't work hard for it? Sometimes people don't want to work anything on their own and they just want what other people have. So we learn here a rule that instead of being jealous, you work your own way and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fadl. You know what fadl is? Fadl is basically a bounty of Allah which is beyond what you deserve. So basically you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah give me your fadl so I can have whatever you have given this to them. And this is the fadl of Allah we can ask. Indeed, Allah is ever of all things knowing. And for all, we have made heirs to what is left by parents and relatives and to those whom you, your oaths have bound to you. Give them their share. Indeed, Allah is ever over all things a witness. In this ayah, we learn that inheritance is mandatory to give. Whatever you left, it is supposed to be given for the parents and relatives and to those whom your oath have bound to you. Give them their share. Indeed, Allah is ever over all things a witness. Men are in charge. Ayah number 34 is very important ayah. You know why? Because people get very upset when they hear, especially women, they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being unjust and unfair. Na'udzubillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a solution here. Why is that? Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa'i bima faḍala Allahu ba'dahum 'ala ba'din wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim. Men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other and what they spend for maintenance from their wealth. Notice here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given men one degree above women. If you think about the ratio. The ratio here is 49-51. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given one daraja, one degree above over woman. Why? You know why? Because this word qawwamun means not because they are superior, just because they are maintainer, they are qawwam, they are manager, they are caretaker, they're supposed to take care of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the woman as a queen, no responsibility is given to the woman besides taking care of the husband and kids in the family. And men are supposed to earn for them and provide for them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this daraja. In this ayah, we learn two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them one daraja, one level above women. And that is that they are physically strong. بِمَا فَضَلَ اللَّهُ بَعَدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعَدْ وَبِمَا أَنفِقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهُمْ. Number one is physically strong, and number two is that they spend from their wealth on their family. Now, let's talk about the physical strength. When it comes to physical strength, do you disagree that women are made more, much more softer, much more, not as strong as men? Men are more powerful. They have more strength physically. They have more control over their emotions. Imagine if a woman is sitting, a cockroach comes. Who does she call? Her husband, a man in the family, brother, son, whoever it is, come and kill this cockroach. Why? Because woman is physically weak. So there's a house construction going on. Do you think woman can do the construction herself? She's going to rely upon her husband. If there's a heavy lifting goes on, she calls, son, father, husband, come and take out the garbage. It's too heavy for me, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made men physically strong. This is why they have one daraja. And another reason is that وَأَنْفِقُوا, they spend their wealth. Why? Because it is built in the men's system. It is built in their DNA that they have this attitude that they are the one who is going to support the family. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell women, go out, work and support your family. If today's women choose to do that, that's their problem. But that's not the requirement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, men are supposed to be your caretaker. Around men, women feel secure. Imagine if a woman is going alone at dark at night and somebody, she fears that she's going to get raped soon. Who she's going to call that time? I wish I had my husband with me. I wish I had my brother with me. I wish I had my father with me who can protect me. Women cannot protect themselves when it comes to physically protection. Women cannot protect themselves when it comes to be in a place where they need help. Right? So, women feel secure around men. Do you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the strength to men. When a wife is sitting next to a man, don't you think that she feels secure under her husband's arm? She feels tranquility. She feels security. Why? Because Allah said so. So, there's nothing to get upset about. We just have to inform ourselves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, right? So, what do we learn here in this ayah is that men are in charge of a woman because of the two reasons. Because they spend, they're well, and they're strong. So, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of a woman. Notice, only two qualities are mentioned for men. But for women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَافِظَ اللَّهُ. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. Women who are obedient to their husband, they don't let other men sleep and come in their own bedroom. They protect themselves and keep themselves only for their husbands. But those wives from whom you fear arrogance, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there are some women, sometimes they have this nushuz in them. They fear arrogance. And first advise them. Here in this ayah, we learn a solution how to save the marriage. Let me just do the translation and then I'll explain it to you. But those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. This is the step number one. Then if they persist, forsake them in bed. This is the step number two. And finally, strike them lightly. This is the step number three. But if they obey you once more, seek no means against them. This is the step number four, meaning do not go aggression, show your aggression after when they come back. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and grand. What did we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to save our marriages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are some women who have this nushuz in there. Nushuz means something that is above, that is coming out. Some women have this nushuz because the reason could be any. Maybe they are their parents, so they have this arrogance, I'm better in you. Maybe they came from the rich background and the husband is not there yet. Maybe they are highly educated, more than their husband. Maybe they have a lot of looks and people say you're so beautiful and that made them arrogant. Reason could be any. Women sometimes have these issues. When they have these issues, when a man has a right to control, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you find issues in women, should you just let her go, divorce her? No. Get the marriages work and take these steps. Even then, if they don't work, then there's an option available. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to try our best to make marriages work. And what are some of the steps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying? So once a man first try to talk to her, try to understand her, try to make her understand that, look, this is not the way we can live because we are created different and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a different jobs and roles and responsibilities. Now, if you fear an arrogance, first advise them. Talk to them nicely, politely. Let them understand the situation. Let them know what is right and what is wrong. Most women, if they're nice, they will understand and this problem will be solved. But sometimes it doesn't work. Then what do you do? If they persist on your shoes, you take a second step and that is, you say, you know what, you can stay in your bedroom, I'm not going to sleep with you. You know, it is very hard for a woman to take that. She may say no to her husband all the time, but when a husband says no to her, it's not easy for her to take. So when he sleeps, goes out of her room, and she's going to feel bad, and she's going to want him back. So this is the solution number two, step number two. And finally, if she even then, Rasulullah actually showed miswak, and touch it lightly to a woman. This is how mothers usually touch their children, even harder than that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even only in the case of nushuz, you can do that. How many times you hear that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit his wife, na'udhu billah? He didn't. Because this is not something that you're supposed to be doing on a normal, regular basis. This is...
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد.
What you supposed to do? You supposed to perform tayammum. Why? If you think about it, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is saying shower is mandatory, and then now the water is not there, you can just still do the salah, meaning you cannot miss the salah. In any condition, you have no excuse to miss salah. Meaning, the importance of salah in our life. You can do tayammum, and why tayammum is allowed? Because so that you can perform salah, and you have this feeling that you have did something. If you think about it, tayammum doesn't clean you, right? Tayammum is basically you use dust to clean your hand and just make sure that you are in a state of cleanliness. Meaning, you physically may not be clean because there is no water, but your mind should be staying in a state of purification. Why? Because you have to feel good. You have to feel okay. You should not be feeling ashamed that since I didn't took shower and the salah time is going, I have no water. Should I miss salah? No. You cannot miss salah. Just do tayammum and do salah. And same thing with if you use the bathroom and you don't find any water, you can, the earth is clean. Wipe over your faces and your hands. This is how simple tayammum is. All you have to take is just dust and wipe over your face and on your hands. Indeed, Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving. Have you not seen those who were given a portion of a scripture, purchasing error in exchange for it and wishing you would lose the way? And Allah is most knowing of your enemies and sufficient is Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا. Notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am sufficient. Sufficient is Allah as an ally, and sufficient is Allah as an helper. Highlight this ayah every time, whenever you have some issues going on, remind yourself that my Allah is sufficient for me. Among the Jews are those who distort words from their proper places, that is usage, and say, we hear and we disobey. سمعنا وصينا وأسمع غير ما أسمع ورأينا, and then, and hear but be not heard, and رأينا, twisting their tongues and defaming the religion. And if they had said instead, we hear and we obey and wait for us to understand, it would have been better for them and more suitable. But people has cursed them and for their disbelief, so they believe not except for few. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, distort the Arabic word so that it has a different meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, instead of arguing with other people, try to fix yourself. Try to change your own strategy. Let them do whatever they want. So very, very beautiful here. Islam teaches us to work with other people. Try to come up with a solution. And it would have been better for them and more suitable, but Allah has cursed them for their disbelief, so they believe not except for a few. O you who were given the scripture, believe in what we have sent down to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, confirming that which is with you before we obliterate faces and turn them toward their backs, or curse them as we curse the Sabbath breakers, and ever is the matter that is decree of Allah accomplished. What do we learn here? Believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, 100%. Because whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, it is true, right? And we obliterate faces and turn them towards their back, or curse them as we curse the Sabbath breakers. Or else, it is a right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish people who do not follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because He is the Creator. He owns us. He can decide whatever He wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرِكَ بِهِ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive association with Him, but He forgives what is less than that for whom He wills. And he who associates others with Allah has certainly fabricated a tremendous sin. Have you not seen those who claim themselves to be pure? Rather, Allah purifies whom He wills, and injustice is not done to them even as much as thread inside a date seed. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, some people like to just think. Some people just like to take credit. Some people just like to think of themselves, they are better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is what, because Allah even knows what inside our heart, and He doesn't do any injustice to anyone. انظر كيف يفترون على الله الكذب. Look how they invent about Allah untruth. And you know what? وَقَفَى بِهِ. And sufficient is that as manifest sin. Have you not seen those who were given a portion of the scripture who believe in jit and superstition and taghut, which is false objects of worship, and say about the disbelievers, these are better guided than the believers as to the way. In the ayah number 51, we learn some of the ways of minor shirk that people indulge themselves. Why? Because this jif and taghut, what are they? These are the superstitious stuff. Anything that can falsely guide you. Anything that people go to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, palmistry, star telling, or something like a horoscope, or maybe fortune telling, psychic reading. All these things are shirki khafi, meaning they are minor shirk. A believer is supposed to stay away from all these. And taghut is any kind of distraction that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a believer, we should be very careful about minor shirk in our life. And so, you know, unfortunately, what we see in Muslim countries, sometimes they have this newspaper and there's a section called how this week will be. Do you think this is Islamic? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, it comes into the category of jibt. And jibt is something that you look for and try to find out the future through them. Psychic readings is very common. Palmistry reading, fortune telling, all this is against Islam. Those are the ones whom Allah has cursed. Imagine if people indulge themselves in these things, not really knowing, right? So Allah SWT is saying, those are the ones whom Allah has cursed, and he whom Allah has cursed, never will you find him any helper. Or have they a share of dominion? Then if they were so, they would not give the people even as much as a speck on the date seed, meaning it's not even possible for others to give you anything. Ayah number 54, or do they envy people for what Allah has given them of his bounty? But we had already given the family of Ibrahim the scripture and wisdom and conferred upon them a great kingdom. Why? Why Allah SWT conferred favor upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family? Do you know why? Because they were focused. They did not have any type of even minor shirk in their life. Let's make dua that Allah SWT keep us safe and away from any on all kinds of shirk. Even the shirk that we don't even consider the shirk anymore. Then, and some among them believed in it, and some among them were averse to it, and sufficient is hell as a place. For who? Whoever's from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, those who disbelieve in our verses, we will drive them into a fire. Every time their skins are roasted through, we will replace them with other skins so they may taste the punishment. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted in might and wise. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn here that skin, look at the beautiful skin that we have. And today we know that skin has a receptors to feel the pain. And when the skin is burned out, then you don't feel the pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, people who indulge anything other than Allah's deen, and then they become disbelievers, and they will be punished. And how they will be punished? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn them skin, and it will be replenished and replaced again once it's burned. Why? So they can feel the pain again. And you know, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, a skin will be replaced as many as 70 times in one given day. Meaning, the pain will be intense. It will not be taken down. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted in might and wise. But those who believe and do righteous deeds, we will admit them to gardens beneath which river flows, wherein they abide again are purified spouses, and we will admit them to deepening shade. What do we learn here? Such a beautiful imagery Allah SWT creates for those who save them from jibt, from ta'ud, from injustice, from unfairness, and for those who don't do zulm, for those who have already focused themselves and they treat others justly, they put others in front of them, for those who try to make their marriages work, for those who try to give each other their right as a wife and a husband, for those husbands who spend on their family and take care of their family, for those wives who take care of their husband's wealth and money and kids, for those who take care of the orphans of the society, for those who take care of any and everybody, for those who take care of their neighbors. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has built this beautiful jannat in tajri min tahtiha al-anharu, and they will abide in it forever, khalidina fiha abada, and they will not be alone there. You know why? Because they will have azwaju mutahara, beautiful spouses there, wa nudkhiluhum dhullan dhalila, in deepening shade, in peace and happiness. Ayah number 58, indeed Allah commands you to render trust to whom they are due, and when you judge between them. Ayah number 58 is very important. Why? Because in this ayah we learn what happens when you are fair and judge to the people to judge with injustice. Excellent is that which Allah instructs you. Question, do you really find this instruction really excellent? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you something. On what is he telling? Indeed, those who disbelieve in our verses, we will drive them into the fire. But those who believe and do the justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them Jannah. Indeed, Allah commands you to render trust very lightly. If somebody entrusted you with something, if somebody has entrusted you with their secret, keep it trusted. People, especially women, are very quick and they say, you know what, I know about this thing, but please don't tell anybody. This is not keeping trust. If somebody has entrusted you with their stuff, with their thing, with their secrets, keep it. And to whom they are due, when you judge between people, to judge with justice. We are judged in one way or the other, right? So if we are giving the judgment, maybe judging between our kids, our siblings, our sisters and brothers or anybody, do not be unfair. Have this justice with you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, this is fair for you. And this is how you're going to gain success of this world and in the hereafter. People who are just in this world, they are much more happier than people who try to do injustice to others. Ayah number 59. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. In this ayah, we learn the solution of how to manage an organization the best way possible. Today we see so much problems in any organization, whether it's a masjid board, whether it's a company, whether it's a business, whether it's a home, whether it's a society, whether it's a community. Here we learn a three-tier system for successful organization. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasula wa ulul amr. Who is Ulil Amr? Ulil Amr is the one who is made responsible for you at that very moment. Like for example, if you have some kind of an issue going on, what should you do? First, try to consult the Book of Allah, that is come to Quran, and try to find a solution there. Second, try to find the same. If you don't find anything in Quran, look for it in the Sunnah and follow what Sunnah says. If you don't find anything in Sunnah, then if you don't find anything in Sunnah, then try to listen to the leader that you find. Of course, you will find everything in Quran and Sunnah. And whatever the leader, Ulul Amr, the person who is made responsible for you, who is given the authority to make decisions, listen to them. Today, people have forgotten this part, the Ulul Amr part. You know why? Because people disagree with organizations, the managers, the leaders, the Amir, the president, the vice president, and whatever that person may be, and this is why problems happen. They say, you know what, I disagree with this person. And then they go and they open another masjid. And then one masjid is split into two. Few years later, the two masajids are split into five because they disagree with each other and they have no patience and listen, and they don't listen to the Ulil Amr. And Ulil Amr could be anyone that is made responsible for that very moment. Like, for example, when you have three siblings, three kids at home, and you're leaving the house going for a grocery shopping, so between those three, you make one of them Ulil Amr. While I'm gone, the two of you have to listen to this brother or sister, what that is. And then they are responsible for listening. Like, for example, in the airplane, when you're traveling, you know who's Ulil Amr there? The air hostess. If she's telling you to put on the seatbelt, you are bound to listen to that person. And imagine if everybody follows this, then the system of the society will be perfect. The solutions will go. Solutions will be there. And this is one of the solutions that Allah SWT is giving us, how to solve this problem. So you must listen to Ulil Amr, and then among you. And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger. If you should believe in Allah and the last day, that is the best way and the best in result. Have you not seen those who claim to have believed in what was revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what was revealed before you? They wish to refer legislation to Tawhud, while they were commanded to reject it, and Shaitan wishes to lead them far astray. When people disobey, then Shaitan makes them go astray even more. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed and to the Messenger, you see the hypocrites turning away from you in aversion. When iman is weak, then it is harder to listen to Prophet's command. So this is very important that we understand here, to work on our iman. So how will it be when disaster strikes them because of what their hands have put forth, and then they come to you swearing by Allah, we intended nothing but good, conduct an accommodation. Those are the ones of whom Allah knows what is in their hearts. So turn away from them, but admonish them and speak to them a far-reaching and effective word. Meaning, when people turn away and do not listen, at least if they go away, you should admonish them, but speak to them with a nice way so they try to understand. If they don't understand, if they turn away, it is not your problem. And we did not send any messenger except to be obeyed by permission of Allah. And if when they wronged themselves, they had come to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked forgiveness of Allah, and the messenger had asked forgiveness for them, they would have found Allah accepting of repentance and merciful. Meaning, when people turn away, and if they only would listen to Allah and the messenger, they would have been forgiven. But no, by your Lord, over which they dispute among themselves, and then find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged, and submit in full submission. It is so important that we take Quran and Sunnah as a guide and a judgment book for us. You know why? When people judge their matters using something else, like using the book of their ulama, then the problem happens. We need to judge daily life decisions based on what Allah says and what we find in Sunnah. And only then we will be the successful ones. And if we had decreed upon them, kill yourself or leave your homes, they would not have done it, except for a few of them. But if they had done what they were instructed, it would have been better for them and a firmer position for them in faith. And then we would have given them from us a great reward. And we should have guided them to a straight path. And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, those will be with the ones upon whom Allah has bestowed favor for of the prophets, the steadfast of affirmers of truth, the martyrs and the righteous, and excellent are those as companions. What do we learn here? We learn here, when person obeys Allah and His Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises its status, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status and levels. Why? Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them near who? The affirmers of the truth, meaning Siddiqeen, the people who are truthful, Shuhada, the people who are martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salihin, the people who are righteous, وَحُسْنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, and excellent are those as companions. This is what we should be longing for, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to live by this book and raise the status of pious people, and وَحُسْنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا, excellent are those as companions. Meaning, those who willingly obey Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates their status. Allah knows what are the intentions, right? So, what do we learn here? We need to be very wanting and desiring for this status, inshallah. ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا, and that is the bounty from Allah, and sufficient is Allah as knower. Oh, you who have believed, take your precaution and either go forth in companies or go forth altogether. Inshallah. Let's take a break here. Let's listen to the recitation of the first ayahs here, and then we'll continue. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا خذوا حذركم فانفروا ثبات أو انفروا جميعا. وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ وإن منكم لمن ليبطئن فإن أصابتكم مصيبة قال قد أنعم الله علي إذ لم أكن معهم شهيدا ولئن أصابكم فضل من الله ليقولن كأن لم تكن بينكم وبينه مودة يا ليتني كنت معهم فأفوز فوزا عظيما فليقاتل في سبيل الله الذين يشرون الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة ومن يقاتل في سبيل الله فيقتلكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن شاء الله آية نمبر 70 ذلك الفضل من الله That is the bounty from Allah and sufficient is Allah as knower O you who have believed take your precaution and either go forth in companies or go forth altogether for we are learning basically a policy the national policy that the Muslim Ummah is supposed to be making we will learn so many things to try to learn these ayat in the context of that time too ayah number 72 and indeed there is among you he who lingers behind and if a disaster strikes you he says Allah has favored me in that I was not present with them. But if a bounty comes to you from Allah, He will surely say, as if there had never been between you and Him any affection, Oh, I wish I had been with them so I could have attained a great attainment. The people who have dual personality, that's what they want. They're never satisfied. When they see goodness, they want to be part of that goodness. And when they don't want, they see some harm and hardship, they don't want to be part of that. Meaning, when you suffer, they get happy. And when you gain something, they regret. Ayah number 74. So, let those fight in the cause of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. What are we learning there? Give yourself up. Sell this life of this dunya for the hereafter because it is the very best trade you and I can do. When we only try to focus on this dunya and live for this dunya and make 90% of our effort to satisfy the life of this dunya and then at the end of the day, what do we get in our hand? I want you to have this example. You know, sometimes we don't even think why are we living and what are we doing things. A child is born and mother starts worrying which school is he going to go to. From pre-kindergarten until college, 16, 17 years, 18, 19, depends on what field do you go to. Or sometimes even 20 years goes in education. By the time a person is 25 years old, he gets into a workforce. And how long do you think he can benefit from his education in the workforce? No more than 30 years, right? Because if he joins the workforce around the age of 20, 25, 30 years by the time 50 or maybe 40 years, you can say. Okay, if you want to do extra, maybe 60 years. So what 60 years is compared as in comparison to the hereafter? And the hereafter, you have to live forever. Right? So if you have to live forever there, how much effort you and I are putting for that life? This is what we learn in this ayah. Sell this life. In this, so let's fight in the cause of Allah who sell the life of this world for the hereafter. Do you think who can struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who has akhirah as a focus, right? And he who fights in the cause of Allah and it is killed or achieves victory, we will bestow upon him a great reward. Meaning, a believer who works and struggles in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a win-win situation. And what is the matter with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah and for the oppressed among men, women and children who say, our Lord, take us out of the city of the oppressive people and appoint for us from yourself a protector and appoint for us from yourself a helper. Allazina amanu yuqatiluna fi sabilillah. Those who believe, fight in the cause of Allah. Those who disbelieve, fight in the cause of Tawhud. Meaning, there are two types of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. There are those who live this life in a struggle. They may have a hard life, but they have some end goal to achieve. And they're those people who are working hard day and night, going to work every day, working 80 hours a week like a donkey, and they're making a lot of money, but they don't have any time, and they're working against Allah for themselves in this dunya only. So they are basically working for Tawhud, fighting for Tawhud, trying to achieve this dunya. At the end of the day, they will be empty-handed. So the plan, the choice that we have, work for this life. Of course you can work for this life too, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you bounties of this life so that you can use it for the hereafter. When a person only accumulates this dunya only, what does he have at the end of the day? This is the question you and I can ask. So, fight against the allies of shaitan. Indeed, the plot of shaitan has ever been weak. Meaning, there are those people who are fighting for shaitan in the way of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this plot doesn't mean anything. It will go. It is weak plan. So which plan should you fight for? Allah's plan, and that is the deen or the plan of this dunya. Ayah number 77. Have you not seen those who were told, restrain your hands from fighting and establish prayer and give zakah? Why? Why not fight now? So you can develop and self-improve yourself. But then when fighters were ordained for them at once, a party of them feared men as they fear Allah. With ever greater fear, they said, our Lord, why have you decreed upon this fighting if only you had postponed it for us for a short time? What do we learn here? People get scared of the other opposition and they complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did you put jihad mandatory for us? Why did you put jihad as a part of a deen? People don't like to fight Islam. When they find things difficult for them, they don't want to participate in that. Say, the enjoyment of this world is a little. How long would you wait? Meaning, you can keep on waiting, but no, at the end of the day, what matters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the struggle in the way of this dunya? And the hereafter is better for you who fears Allah and injustice will not be tell yourself in this dunya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you and nothing will be done to you that is unjust. Injustice will not be done to you even as much as a thread inside a date seed. This is how careful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with whatever you and I do. Even a little step we take, fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about jihad. Think about it. You and I are not going to any battlefield. You and I do not have any kind of physical jihad that we have to participate in. For you and I, the jihad, the struggle that we can do is by ilm. By knowledge, learn knowledge, give yourself up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by devoting yourself to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so you can really be the one who can teach others too. Use your qalam, use your pen to do jihad, use your wealth to do jihad, spend your wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the establishment of the deen. And wherever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you should be within towers of lofty construction. These ayahs are revealed in certain contexts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, death will come anyway, whether you fight or not. So why is you fear the death anyway? Why you do not come out to fight anyway? Because you're going to die one day anyway. But if good comes to them, they say, this is from Allah. And if evil befalls them, they say, this is from you. meaning they blame Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their loss, they blame the Muslims for their loss, they blame the Quran for their loss, their salah, their Ramadan, their ibadah, say all good things are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the matter with those people that they can hardly understand any statement, meaning all things, whether good or bad, they all come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 79, what comes to you of good is from Allah, but what comes to you of evil is because of yourself. What do we learn here? It meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that sin, because of your own mistakes and your problems comes to you. Meaning, it happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows it, that's why it happened. But what was the cause of the bad? It was you. So whenever in life you find any difficulty, see what are some of the mistakes that you made. Is there anything that you did wrong? Is there any kind of major sin that is in your life? Or is there anything that you committed that was very wrong? So try to assess your own situation. Try to assess your own self. Because most of the time, hardship comes because of our own sin. And sometimes it comes from the test purpose too, but there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you have to test, you have to check yourself, whether did you do something, whether did you ask forgiveness for whatever you did or not, because seeking forgiveness brings goodness and not seeking forgiveness brings hardship. This month of Ramadan, inshallah, try to focus on seeking forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is where the success lies. Even we have committed a sin, even we have so many mistakes, even we have committed so many wrongs, if we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And we have sent you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the people as a messenger, and sufficient is Allah as witness. Sufficient is Allah is as witness. He who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Ayah number 80 is very important. In this ayah, we learn that how important it is to obey Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. I want you to highlight this ayah. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. This is how the status, this is how great the status of sunnah in our life is. Sometimes people say, oh, you know what? This is just only sunnah. It is not something that I need to be doing anyway. It is not farz. I'm just going to stick to the fara'id. I'm just going to stick to the obligations. Well, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. Meaning, obeying the messenger is as if you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshallah, from now on, try to think about that how many sunnahs I can bring in our life, how many things I can do according to sunnah. Because when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. We have salah in our life, alhamdulillah. We are fasting today, alhamdulillah. But if we are not doing according to exactly what the sunnah is, then there's a problem. People cannot say, oh, I am performing salah, but I want to do 3 sujood instead of 2. Do you think it is according to sunnah? No. Even though you're performing 1 extra sujood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give you reward. But no. Obey Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way he said so. And the way he did things. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you do that, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How beautiful. And hadith is a mandatory part of our lives. We must obey hadith. And you know what? Take hadith over everything, whatever other scholars say. If you find a hadith that is refuting what the saying of any of the scholar is, take hadith upon you. You know why? Because following Rasul is following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who turn away, we have not sent you over them as a guardian. And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you a group of them, spend the night determining to do other than what you say. Meaning, they disobey the clear orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, people say, oh, we love Prophet. They can claim all they want. But at the end of the day, what Prophet did, do we do? What Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle was, do we see the lifestyle in Muslim Ummah today? How Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did marriages and other things take care, do we do the same way? How Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was devoted to learn and spread Quran every day. Do you see that in Muslim Ummah? How Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy establishing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day long and all night long. Do we? How Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to cry for his Ummah's guidance. Do we cry? How Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to feel the pain when people were lost around him and he would cry for them that they would come to Islam. Do we feel that pain? And then we say, we love Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We can say nasheed. We can invite people once a year in our homes and do the parties and then sing beautiful. And notice, the word here is yuti'i. Yuti'i comes from taw'an. Taw'an means to do something willingly, lovingly, not forcefully. Something that you want to do. Something that your heart desires for. This is what yuti'u Rasul is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word yuti. So we need to understand that ita'at is something when you obey with heart, with your mind, with your desire, and that's what we need to do. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to obey Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way we need to be obeyed, the way we need to listen to him, the way we need to bring sunnah in our life. And the biggest sunnah, the biggest mission of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? The establishment of deen. Today, people are happy even doing little sunnah, and sometimes they even forget that. They say, oh, it's just a sunnah. For example, wudu. The faraid of the wudu, the obligation of the wudu is only basic, one time washing, right? But when you do sunnah wudu, wash 3 times, hands 3 times, face 3 times, this is from sunnah. Some people don't even do that. Some people move up, they do that, but they stick to that. They say, but daily life sunnah is enough, and they don't want to learn anymore. In order to perform sunnah and yuti'u Rasul, we must understand, we must have the intention and the desire to learn about the seerah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How did he live? How did he sleep? What his day's focus was? What time he used to get up? How much time he used to spend at night? How he used to talk? Linta lahum, we learned yesterday that he was very soft, gentle towards people. We can ask this question, do we raise my voice? Do I raise my voice with my family? Do I yell at my kids? Do I tell them, go pray? Or do I tell them, you know what, let's pray together? Do I tell them, or do I tell them, let's do this together? Because Prophet ﷺ loves it. It's about the mindset. It's about the mother who teaches the kid with the mindset that the love automatically develops. It is not by force. It is by love. And that's what we need to develop here. He'll make it possible for us to do that. And they say, we pledge obedience when they leave you. Do a group of them, spend the night determining to do what other than what you say, but Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. Another rule we learn here. People can say and do whatever they want, but leave them alone. Try to give them advice, and if they don't take it, leave them alone, because Allah will take care of them, and rely upon Allah. This reliance upon Allah is the key to success in life. You know why? Because once person says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَّا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his wali, and he relies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything for me, and then sufficient is Allah and the disposer of the affairs. Ayah number 82, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, highlight this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking question, and do they not reflect upon Qur'an? You and I can ask this question. How many a times we reflect upon Quran? Alhamdulillah. Let's say thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen right now, because this is exactly what you're learning. You are trying to go through the Quran, at least the basics of it, at least touching the surface of it, so that your heart will open up to do the tadabbur on Quran. And that is the main purpose of learning this Quran, because this is what the ultimate goal. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, and do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? So, a person can never have enough reflecting on Qur'an. Qur'an is such a deep, deep ocean that even a person spend all his life, he will never be able to do enough of it. So if it had been from any other than Allah, they would have found within it much contradiction. So far, we have done 5 juz, right? Did you find any contradiction in any ahkam, any command of Allah, or anything in there? No, right? So this is a proof that Quran is free of any contradiction. And no matter how much tadabbur you can do, how much contemplation you can do, you will never find any contradiction in any part of the Quran. And this is the beauty of Quran. Ayah number 83. And when there comes to them information about public security or fear, they spread it around. Very relevant ayah for today's time. Meaning, some people, you know what they do? They like to spread knowledge, spread information without any verification. Here we learn that we're not supposed to pass on the information, unverified information. Today you see social media is filled with negative information, filled with information that has no basis. We must be very careful because this is what we learn in this ayah. And when there comes to them information about public fear, they spread it around. Do you see people spreading around the news? You know, how many people have died with this COVID thing, and so many people are hurting, and so many people are doing this, and this is going wrong in that part of the world, and that is going wrong without any verification. And some people say, oh, you know, some good things are going on. That's also without verification. They pass on the hadith without verification if it's true or not, and authentic or not. So be very careful. When there comes to them information about public security or fear, they spread it around. But if they had referred it back to the messenger or to those of authority among them, then the ones who can draw correct conclusion from it would have known about it. Many times it happens that such emails, such messages, people forward not really realizing what to do and if they're right or not. And they just assume, so what? Let me just sensationalize the news and forward it. And sometimes, you know, messages say, if you don't forward it, you're going to get cursed or something. People get scared and people forward 10 people in their list. And this is how the messages are spread. And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, you would have followed Shaitan, except for a few. Meaning, Shaitan just like to make you go lost, right? So this is why he does that. He makes you involved in unnecessary stuff. He takes your time away. So, fight, O Prophet, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not but held responsible except for yourself, and encourage the believers to join. وَحَرَّضَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that perhaps Allah will restrain the military might of those who disbelieve, and Allah is greater in might and stronger in exemplary punishment. مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعًا حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِّنْهَا, whoever intercedes for a good cause will have a reward therefrom. And whoever intercedes for an evil cause will have a burden therefrom. And ever is Allah will over all things a keeper. Wa iza hayyatu, very important ayah, ayah number 86. Allah situm itahayyatin fahayyu. And when you are greeted with a greeting, greet in return with one better than it is, and then it, or at least return the same. For example, if somebody is saying salam to you, assalamu alaikum, greet him better. You should say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And if somebody said assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you should say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Why? Because indeed Allah is ever over all things and accounting. We are learning the rules here. Just if somebody is doing good to you, you should try to do even better to them. There's a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stingiest person is the one who is stingy in salam. So be generous. Give peace and blessings to others. Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no deity except Him. He will surely assemble you for account on a day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt. And who is more untruthful than Allah in statement? Sorry. And who is more truthful than Allah in statement? Meaning, is there anybody on the face of this earth can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not, then shouldn't we believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Each and every word of this Quran is filled with hikmah and truth. Aye number 88. What is the matter with you that you are two groups concerning the hypocrites, while Allah has made them fall back into error and disbelief, and for what they have earned, do you wish to guide those whom Allah has sent straight? And he whom Allah sent straight, never will you find for him a way of guidance. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide to send somebody straight based on what they do, then nobody can help them. They wish you would disbelieve as they disbelieve, as you would like to be alike. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about munafiqeen here, the hypocrites, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even use the word munafiqeen. Do you know why? Here we learn a different, very good rule that when you are telling somebody, don't be very direct to them, because then people turn away. People close their minds and ears. So when you want to correct somebody, do it in a third-party way, because people don't want to hear what they're doing wrong. So you can say it in some way, you know, such and such person did that, and that's not the right thing to do. So something like that. So do not take from among an allies, meaning these people will discourage you if you take them as a friends until they immigrate for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning until they do something that really shows that they are sincere with their religion. But if they are turned away, then seize them and kill them wherever you find them, and take not from them any ally or helper. Meaning that they are at war with you, only then you can do that, not in everyday life. Ayah number 90. Except for those who take refuge with the people between yourself and whom is a treaty, or those who come to you, their hearts strained as a prospect of fighting, you are fighting their own people. And if Allah had willed, he could have given them power over you, and they would have fought you. So if they remove themselves from you and do not fight you and offer you peace, then Allah has not made for you a cause for fighting against them. You will find others also, another category of hypocrites here, who wish to obtain security from you and to obtain security from their people. They want to stay in the middle, right? They want to be either side, wherever the goodness is. Every time they turn to the influence of a disbelief, they will fall back into it, meaning they fall into whatever they say. So if they do not withdraw from you or offer you peace or restrain their hands, then seize them and kill them wherever you overtake them. Meaning that they are your enemy. So treat them as an enemy. Obviously, you're not going to put your enemy in your living room, right? So it's okay to have defensive war. And those, we have made for you against them a clear authorization. Ayah number 92. And never is it for a believer to kill a believer except by mistake. Meaning, if it's a killing by khata, by mistake, and not really wanting it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. But it is not allowed for him to do that. And the only situation where this can happen is when it happens by an accident, right? And whoever kills a believer by mistake, then the freeing of a blood money have to be paid, even if it's done by mistake. Imagine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even by mistake killing requires expiation, what about killing willingly? And should be present, believing slave, and a compensation payment should be made, be presented to the deceased family. This is required unless they give up their rights as charity. But if the deceased was from the people at war with you and he was a believer, then only freeing of a believing slave. And if he was from the people with whom you have a treaty, then a compensation payment presented to his family and a freeing of a believing slave. And whoever does find a slave or cannot afford to buy one, then instead fast for 2 months consecutively. Meaning, if you even skip one, you have to start the count again. This is how serious it is. Seeking acceptance of repentance from Allah, and Allah is ever knowing and wise. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلُ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمَّدًا But whoever kills a believer intentionally, meaning deliberately, knowingly, his recompense is hell. Hellfire is a recompense of people when they kill somebody knowingly, willingly, intentionally, wherein he will abide eternally. And Allah has become angry with him and has cursed him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken mercy away from him and has prepared for him great punishment. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, killing Muslims, not even knowing why are they killing. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, O you who have believed, when you go forth to fight in the cause of Allah, investigate. And do not say to the one who gives you a greeting of peace that you are not a believer. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if someone comes to you and say that you are a believer, take them as a face value, because you don't know, especially in the time of the battlefield, this can happen. Somebody says, I am a believer, and you say, no, you're not a believer, and you kill him. No, then that becomes a sin. Don't say that you are not a believer, aspiring for the goods of worldly life, for that, for with Allah are many acquisitions. You yourself were like that before. Then Allah conferred His favor upon you. So investigate. Indeed, Allah is ever with what you do acquainted. Not equal are those believers remaining at home. In ayah number 95, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, of course, the one who goes out of their way, the one who lives on a basic level of Islam, or the one who does extra. Do you think they can be equal? They cannot be equal. Obviously, there are Muslims who can stay on a basic level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from them too. But there are Muslims who go out of their way to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, they're not equal. La yastawil qa'idun. Not equal are those believing and believers remaining at home other than the disabled, meaning that yes, of course, if they have some excuse, that's a different story. Mujahidun, those who strive and struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do they do that? With their wealth and their lives. So who's better? Allah has preferred the mujahidun, the one who strives, the one who struggles by degrees. By degrees, meaning there are many different levels. Allah knows best how much degrees above the level. And to both, Allah has promised the best reward, meaning both believers are good. The one who stays at home and the one who goes out, both are good. However, Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain behind with a greater reward, meaning the more you work, the more reward you get. The higher the work is, the more struggle you have, the higher the reward is. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named different levels of Jannah. For those who work extra, it depends on whatever you work. And of course, the daraja is also given based on the intention as well. Some people may not have the means, physical means to do extra, but they have a desire to do extra. So Allah gets it. For example, if a person who makes the intention right now that he wants to seek the Laylatul Qadr and he dies before it, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the reward. Ayah number 96, دَرَجَاتٌ مِّنْهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. From Him and forgiveness and mercy, and Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Indeed, those whom the angels take in death while wronging themselves, the angels will say, in what condition were you? They will say, we were oppressed in land. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah spacious even for you to immigrate therein? For those, their refuge is hell, and evil it is the destination. What do we learn in ayah number 97? We learn here is that people who are having a hard time practicing their deen, they should immigrate, they should migrate, inshallah. Except for the oppressed among men, women and children, who cannot devise a plan, nor are they directed to a way, meaning they cannot afford it and they don't have the means, then they are forgiven. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصَلَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ. For those, it is expected that Allah will pardon them, and Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving. And whoever immigrates for the cause of Allah will find on the earth many alternatives. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah's land is in abundance. He will find different places to live and he find better location and abundance. So what do we learn here? Doing hijrah for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you out. Hijrah can be physical hijrah. Hijrah can be from the sins that you commit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his land is beautiful and big. Muraghaman kathiran wasa'a. Many alternative locations in abundance. This is for who? The Muhajir. And whoever leaves this home as an immigrant to Allah and His overtakes him, his reward is already become incumbent upon Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided to give him that reward. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not wait till the people of the Makkah who immigrated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't feel bad. Your reward is with Allah. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ And when you travel throughout the land, there is no blame upon you for shortening the prayer. Another important ayah about the prayer. Remember one ayah we learned, when you are in the state of intoxication, you should not pray. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you are in the midst of battle, in fighting, and in the condition that the enemy is standing right on top of you, ready to kill you, even in that situation. If you fear that those who disbelieve may disrupt or attack you, what does it tell you? If salah is not forgiven, when the enemy is on top of your head, do you think salah is forgiven just because you are busy shopping? Do you think salah is forgiven just because you feel like sleeping? At the time of Fajr, I'll do it when I wake up. No, it tells us the importance of Salah. And when the Salah is not prioritized, then we cannot do the job of Ummat al-Wasan. And we cannot do the Jihad. And we cannot do anything by that context, right? So, indeed, the disbelievers are ever to you a clear enemy. You can take precaution. You can shorten your Salah. And when you are among them now, the fear prayer, Salatul Khawf is mentioned here. What is Salatul Khawf? How are you supposed to pray? This is what we learn in ayah number 102. And when you are among them and lead them in prayer, let a group of them stand in prayer with you and let them carry their arms. And when they have prostrated, then let them be in the position behind you and have the other group come forward which has not yet prayed and let them through pray with you, taking precaution and carrying their weapons. Notice here, even in the Salatul Khawf, in the battlefield, you're supposed to be praying in Jama'ah. Then how come in our daily life we say, oh, we can just pray at home? Even in battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the way how to pray in Jama'ah half and half. Half of you pray and half of you stay behind with the weapons. And then the other half come forward and the other one goes back. Those who disbelieve wish that you would make neglect your weapons and your baggage so they would come down upon you in one single attack. But there is no blame upon you if you are troubled by rain or ill and are ill for putting down your weapons, but take precautions. Indeed, Allah has prepared for the disbelieving a humiliating punishment. And when you have completed prayer, remember Allah. In this ayah, we learn the importance of doing azkar after the salah. قِيَامًا وَقُودًا عَلَىٰ جُنُوبِكُمْ Standing, sitting, or lying on your sides. But when you become secure, then reestablish regular prayer. Indeed, prayer has been decreed upon the believers, a decree of a specified term, meaning when Salah is complete, when the time is fixed, supposed to do it then, and then when you get into the peace situation, you do a regular Salah. Ayah number 104. وَلَا تَهِنُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ Do not weaken in pursuit of the enemy. If you suffer, then remember that your enemy also suffers just as you suffer. Sometimes we forget that when we are suffering, we think we're the only one suffering. But Allah Ta'ala says, if you're suffering, remember your enemy suffer too. You accept from Allah that which they do not expect, meaning you have the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't even have that. This gives such a peace of heart, you know. When you are a believer and you're struggling and your life is hard, you know, at the end of the day, rest assured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side and Allah is ever knowing and wise. Indeed, we have revealed to you the book in truth so you may judge between the people that which Allah has shown you and do not be for the deceitful and advocate and seek forgiveness of Allah. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. And do not argue on behalf of those who deceive themselves. Indeed, Allah loves not who is habitually sinful deceiver. They conceal from the people, but they cannot hide from Allah. People can hide whatever they want in this dunya, but nothing is hidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is with them when they spend the night in such as He does not accept of speech, and ever is Allah of what they do encompassing. And here you are, those who argue on their behalf in this worldly life, but who will argue with Allah for them on the day of resurrection? This is something to remember. But who will defend them on the day of judgment? And whoever does a wrong or wrongs himself, but then to seek forgiveness of Allah, will find Allah forgiving and merciful. What a beautiful, hopeful ayah. And whoever committed a sin, notice here, a single sin is mentioned here, only earns it against himself, and Allah is ever knowing and wise. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا. But whoever earns an offense or sin and then blames it on an innocent person has taken upon himself a slander and a manifest. People have this tendency. When they don't do this, because of my mom told me not to do this, this is why I don't do this. Because of them, I don't come to class. Because of my kid, I am busy. Always try to take your sin upon yourself instead of blaming others. Trust me, this will be more peaceful for you. You will be more happy this way. People, when they blame other people for their own failure, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to the people. They are the ones who are failing, right? So, if it was not for the favor of Allah upon O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His mercy, a group of them would have determined to mislead you, but they do not mislead except themselves, and they will not harm you at all. And Allah has revealed to you the book and wisdom, and has taught you that which you did not know, and ever has a favor of Allah upon you being great. No good is there in much of their private conversation. What do we learn here? لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ. When people do secret meetings, private conversation, and they're actually planning and plotting, there is no good in them, except for those who enjoy charity. So you should not be doing secret conversation to plan and plot against people. Yes, except you're talking about something good, that's a different story. Or that which is right of conciliation between two people. If you're trying to resolve two people's problem, then that's a different story. Other than that, and whoever does that, seeking means to the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's also one of the exceptions. Then we're going to give him a great reward. Meaning, what a beautiful deen. Watch your private conversation, and you will be rewarded. Has become clear to him and follows other than the way of the believers, we will give him what he has taken and drive him into hell, and evil it is and destination. Indeed, Allah does not forgive association with him. Shirk is not forgiven until somebody comes back. But He forgives what is less than that for whom He wills. Who will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for? The one who comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he who associates other with Allah has certainly gone far astray. They call upon instead of him none but female deities, goddesses, and they actually call upon none but a rebellious, meaning the shaitan, whom Allah has cursed, for he had said, I will surely take from among your servants a specific portion. This ayah is very important, ayah number 118 and 119, because here we learn the plans of the shaitan. He said that he will actually take a share from us. So what do we learn from this is that shaitan is taking a share. Nasiba mafruda. I want you to highlight this word. Some way, somehow, he takes a portion of our life, and we obey him, whether consciously or unconsciously. And that makes shaitan very happy. When we ignore the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do whatever we are doing, that means we are doing nasiba mafruda, giving a specific portion of our time and our lives to shaitan. When we delay salah, that means we're listening to shaitan by delaying salah. When we lie, we're listening to shaitan by lying. When we do something that is not halal, we're listening to shaitan and giving our life, a portion of our life to shaitan. This is nasiba mafruda to do. These are the some of the shaitan's goal. And we learn in ayah number 119. What are they? وَلَأُضَلَّنَّهُمْ And I will mislead them. This is one of the biggest goals, to mislead people away from Islam. May Allah save us all. And number two, I will arouse in them sinful desires. Meaning, let's go ahead, do that. Let's watch this movie. It's okay. Let's open this phone. Let's visit this website. Nobody's watching. Nobody's going to know. You're alone in your room. Let's do this gossiping. Let's talk about bad about this person and all the negative and all the sinful things. He aroused desires. All shaitan does is he arouses desires and we end up doing it. That means we are giving nasiba mafruda to him, a specific portion of ours, understanding and time and mind to him. May Allah save us all from shaitan and the tricks of shaitan. And what else he does? And I will command them so that they will slit the ears of cattle, and I will command them so they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People make all kinds of physical changes in their bodies too. Like for example, they go to plastic surgery to get their nose job done, or thin their lips, or widen their eyebrows, and do all those stuff. This is all from against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. And this is shaitan who entices you, get the tummy tucked in, and get this thing done, or whatever changes in your front body. Today we see people making holes in different parts of the body, like for example on the eyebrows, or maybe navel hole. This is all from shaitan. May Allah save us all from the tricks and traits of shaitan. يَعِدُهُمْ يُمَنِّيهُمْ Shaitan promises them and arouses desires in them, but shaitan does not promise them except delusion. May Allah make us remember this. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا وَأُمْ جَهَنَّمْ And the rest find from it and escape. But the one who believes and do righteous deeds, we will admit them to the gardens beneath which river flows, wherein they will abide forever. It is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the promise. Shaitan promised delusion and Allah promised Jannah. The question is, which one do we want to obey? Ayah number 123. Paradise is not obtained by your wishful thinking, nor by that of the people of the scripture. Meaning, people can just make dua and wish for Jannah. Do you think that the Jannah will come to them? No. In order to get the Jannah, we must try to understand what Shaitan wants us to do. And do not obey Shaitan, or else Jannah will not come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, paradise is not obtained by only desiring for it. If you ask anybody, do you think anybody is going to say, I don't want Jannah? Obviously, even the biggest of the biggest sinner, the major sinner, even the person who does shirk, they all want Jannah too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Jannah will not come by the wishing only. Whoever does it wrong will be recompensed for it. Meaning, you get what you do. Whoever does evil will get evil. He will be recompensed for it. And he will not find besides Allah a protector or a helper. And what Allah averts is much more. Allah does not make us suffer at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to make us suffer for all of our sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will forgive you if you come back to Allah. And if you do tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, while being a believer, those will enter paradise and will not be wronged even as much as the speck of a date seed. And who is better in religion than one who submits himself to Allah? You question, can we submit ourselves to Allah? While being a doer of the good and show with our actions that we're submitting to Allah by not obeying shaitan, and follow the religion of Ibrahim, inclining towards truth, meaning focus towards the deen. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا And Allah took Ibrahim alayhi salam as an intimate friend. Ayah number 126. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And ever is Allah of all things encompassing. meaning he encompasses everything. Ayah number 127, and the a legal ruling concerning women say, Allah give you a ruling about them and about what has been recited to you in the book concerning the orphan girls to whom you do not give what is decreed for them, and yet you desire to marry them. And concerning the oppressed among children, and that you maintain for orphans their rights and justice, and whatever you do of good, indeed, Allah is ever knowing of it. Ayah number 128. And if a woman fears from her husband contempt or aversion, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that women, if a woman fears from her husband contempt or aversion, meaning she sees that her husband is no longer interested in her and he's turning away from her, so what can she do? She can do these, she can take these steps. So she should try to make things work, and she should try to do the settlement first, because you know why? Because settlement is the best thing that you that can happen. Try to make marriages work and try to do compromise. Why? Because when woman goes away, then the children suffers a lot. Mu'akhdiratul anfusu shukh, present in the human souls is stinginess. Meaning, why should she have to compromise? Because in his heart is this stinginess. Meaning, my right, my this and my that, and this is why. But if you do good and fear Allah, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do is acquainted. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you try your best to make your marriage work, it is best for you. And you will never be able to, in feelings between wives. You, meaning, if you have more than one wife, you will never have the same feelings for them. Even if you should strive to do so, what should you do then? Do not incline completely towards one and leave the other just hanging. And if you amend your affairs and fear Allah, then indeed Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. What do we learn in these ayahs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to try to make things work. You know why? Because this is how the healthy society is created. When we are always busy in our internal problems, we cannot be a productive member of the society. But if they separated by divorce, Allah will enrich them and enrich each of them from His abundance. After trying your best, if the things don't work out, then divorce does happen. Then Allah is saying, Allah will enrich them with His abundance. Allah will enrich each of them from His abundance, and ever is Allah encompassing and wise. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And we have instructed those who were given the scripture before you and yourself to fear Allah. But if you disbelieve, then Allah belongs to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And ever is Allah free of need and praiseworthy. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. And to Allah is sufficient. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. What do we learn? All these rules and regulations are for who? For own benefits. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what goes on. If He wills, He can do away with you, O people, and bring others in your place. And ever is Allah competent to do that. All these ayahs are telling us oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 134. Man kana yuridu sawab ad-dunya, whoever desires their reward of this world, then with Allah is the reward of this world and in the hereafter. Meaning, ask for a greater reward, and that is the reward of hereafter. Then, O you who have believed, be persistently, continuously standing firm in justice. Again, another ayah about justice. Because justice is the key to a healthy society. Witness for Allah, even if it is against yourself or parents and relatives, whether one is rich or poor, or Allah is more worthy of both. So follow not personal inclination, lest you not be just. here we learned very important rule. When it comes to family dealings, we don't stay fair. When it comes to settle the matter between the kids, sometimes we favor one child upon others. Allah SWT is saying, even if this is your own relatives, be just and fair. If the person, the party that you're ruling against, if one is poor person that you don't know, that means that you should be unjust to him? No, you have to be just and fair. And this is where the success of the society as an ummah as a whole comes from. Be just and fair. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed, believe. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He has sent down on His Messenger and the book which was sent before. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ, and whoever disbelieves Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, has certainly gone far astray. Indeed, those who have believed, then disbelieve, then disbelieve, and then increase in disbelief, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a way. Give tidings to the hypocrites that there is for them a painful punishment. Who? The hypocrites. Those who take disbelievers as an ally instead of the believers, because this is the quality of the hypocrites, they take disbeliever as their friends over believers. Do they seek with them honor? But indeed, honor belongs to Allah entirely. Meaning, do not seek aids with these disbelievers. Seek help with Allah only. Ayah number 140, and it has already come down that they are denied by the people, ridiculed. You must not sit with them until they enter into another conversation. What do we learn here? Very good rule. When people are making fun of your deen, instead of argue with them, get up and leave and come back when the topic has changed. Indeed, you would then be like them if you persist on listening to them. Eventually, you start believing and listening to them. So you will be like them. Indeed, Allah will gather the hypocrites and disbelievers in hell all together. So next time, and this thing is something that we need to practice ourselves and teach others too. Because when we keep on sitting in the company of disbelievers, and when they make fun of the deen, then our iman becomes weaker. Ayah number 141, those who wait and watch you, then if you gain a victory from Allah, they say, were we not with you? But if the disbelievers have a success, they say to them, did we not gain the advantage over you? But we protected you from the believers. Allah will judge between all of you on the day of resurrection, and never will Allah give the disbeliever over the believers a way to overcome them. Indeed, the hypocrites think to deceive Allah, but He is deceiving them. And when they stand for prayer, they stand lazily. Another quality, another importance of the salah, when hypocrites stand for a prayer, they show laziness. They're not really excited to pray. Here, we can check ourselves. Are we excited? Are we lazy? Or are we willing to pray? Or are we finding salah hard on ourselves? Showing themselves to the people and not remembering Allah except a little, meaning they pray just to show off so that other people can think that they are Muslim. Well, wavering between them, belonging neither to the believers nor to the disbelievers, and whoever Allah leads astray, never will you find for him a way. May Allah save us from among them. O you who have believed, do not take the disbelievers as allies instead of the believers. Do you wish to give Allah against yourself a clear sense? Indeed, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth of the fire. There are many levels, 7 levels of the hellfire, and they will be among the lowest one, even though they are Muslims, right? But they are hypocrites. Hypocrisy is something which is a severe sin, a major sin. So may Allah save us all from this traits of munafiqeen. What do their traits are? They deceive Allah, they deceive people, and then they basically do salah lazily, and they don't find salah for Allah only, but they do it for showing off. Ayah number 146, except for those who repent, correct themselves, hold fast to Allah, and are sincere in their religion for Allah, for those will be with the believers, and Allah is going to give the believers great reward. Meaning, as soon as person comes back and fix themselves, then Allah is merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to suffer. And the last ayah is amazingly beautiful. You know what? Because in this ayah of today's, ayah number 147, which is the last ayah of today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very, very special. You know what? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ كَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What would Allah do with your punishment if you are grateful and you believe? And ever is Allah appreciative in knowing. You know what we learn in this ayah? We learn, Allah SWT is saying, what would I do? Put you in a hellfire. My intention, meaning Allah SWT's intention is not to put everybody in the hellfire. Allah's intention is to save everybody. This is why Allah SWT is merciful. This is why Allah SWT gives so many chances. This is why Allah SWT gave this Quran for our guidance. And this is why Allah SWT sent Prophet ﷺ. And this is why Allah SWT gives people chance to come back and repent over and over. Even after major sins, if they come and repent to Allah, Allah forgives. So know, feel the love of Allah SWT. Allah SWT is Arham Rahimeen. He is giving you peace. He is giving you contentment. Right now, that rest assured, as long as you can't want, Allah will save you, because Allah does not intend to fill the hellfire with the people. Such a beautiful dua, such a beautiful ayah, inshallah. And towards the end, inshallah, you will learn there's no dua in this juz, inshallah. So we will just do this, end our session right here. And sorry for the time that went over. These ayahs are really beautiful. I did not do any justice with them because we just can't given the time restraint. So make dua that Allah SWT make it possible for you and I to learn these ayahs in detail one day. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا وحسن جزا سيستر فايزة. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Beautiful session indeed. And alhamdulillah with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we completed our today's target. Learning so much. Subhanallah, subhanallah. First, we would like to apologize for some extra time. May this time become the best sadqa jariya for you all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all immensely for being so patient with us. Alhamdulillah. Just a couple of things quickly. We will do inshallah wa ta'ala and we will let you go. We understand that it's Friday and everybody has to do the Friday rituals inshallah wa ta'ala. I hope and pray that you all know that that they're supposed to do on Friday. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will try to incorporate sunnahs, especially in this month. So we are getting extra rewards for that. Just keep the intention while taking shower, cutting nails, you know, like everything, reciting Surah Al-Kahf, doing salah, everything. Just keep in mind the sunnah points. So when we keep that we are doing this, such and such thing because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, and inshallah wa ta'ala we will be rewarded extra. Okay, we can we have to cut nail, take shower, we can put perfume, clean clothes, inshallah wa ta'ala we can put little perfume. Of course, we are inside the house. If we are going out, then it's a problem, but yes, we can put the perfume, recite Surah Al-Kahf. These are few of them. And then inshallah wa ta'ala, we will abide by them. And I just want to go with a couple of things. Did you all notice that so many times it came that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do injustice to anyone? And everything comes in regards to hardship in any form or shape or our way in is because of our own doing. So what does it tell us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us Jannah. He does not want to punish us. Now it is our perception now what we are going to do. And now we have to have a strong faith, and we have to be thankful for everything, inshallah wa ta'ala. We have to work hard to raise the level of spirituality in this month, inshallah wa ta'ala. We are born Muslims, but sometimes we just lose that sight. But inshallah wa ta'ala, with conscious decisions, we have to learn this kalam, and we will be more thankful of this blessing and will cherish it as the most prized possession, inshallah wa ta'ala. We will try to raise the level of our spirituality in our lives by bringing love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His book, and the love of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of us safe. Keep us from any and every evil or shar there is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put devious plans of misguiding us. May He make us among those who establish Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. May we are rewarded all the bounties there are of Ramadan. May we are given wisdom and ability to spend the best Ramadan ever. May we are honored with Laylatul Qadr, and may we are given the ability to raise the bar of our spirituality. Ameen summa ameen. If life and health permits, we will see you all tomorrow, inshallah wa ta'ala, with your sixth in journey through Quran. Stay safe and blessed. Allahumma a'ini ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت